annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Yes, and here we are for episode 11 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast for the crew at The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and of course, our good friends at Lang's Auto Yass Road in Queanbeyan. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards.
There you go. And that fella over there,
he's Stevie Payos.
He's with us. He's back from his jet-setting tour around the world for his second appearance here on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Benny.
Well, quickly, before we get to Payos, it's episode 12, you idiot, not 11.
I said 12, didn't I?
You said 11, man.
Did I?
Yeah.
I've written 11 on the paper. Dude,
he doesn't, man.
There you go. I'm on fire. Look at me go. All right, 12. There we go. I can edit that out and make you sound like a dick.
So. I should have said that nicer.
Yeah, it's all good. Episode 12.
Dirty so Dozen.
There we go. Obviously, a big episode coming up. I mean, nothing as big as last week's Biff-a-Rum because that was massive because we had a couple of weeks off with the man flu. But
yeah.
What do you got coming up this week, Benny?
I've got the UFC 201 breakdown. Some every single fight on the main card was an upset. So it was a pretty pretty entertaining, very much more entertaining than UFC 200.
Oh, UFC 200 was ordinary.
It was pretty ordinary. Yeah. Like, I'm a hardcore fan, and some of those fights were a bit of a struggle. But we still got some more stuff on the Mark Hunt, Brock Hunt, Brock Hunt.
Brock Lesnar.
Mark Lesnar. He's actually Mark's picking up a bit of mainstream press with his.
Oh, it's awesome because he's just cutting sick.
Every day he's just dropping bombs on social media. So it's some pretty cool stuff and a bit of a Diaz Connor 2 preview. And in the boxing world, I got Triple G's next fight. And he's fighting a midget. He's going to kill him. So.
And that midget, that London guy, he's fighting. He had no choice but to learn how to box because of how he speaks, didn't he?
Oh, 100%.
I mean, the press release, I couldn't take the guy seriously. Like, he'd probably flog me. He'd probably hit me 100 times before I woke
up. Well, it's either that or he actually has brain damage from boxing. But
I wouldn't make fun of that. No, not at all.
I'm probably going to get it.
Stevie.
I've already got it, mate.
Yeah, we'll have a chat about it later on, but you've been jet-setting around the world. You've been all over the shop.
I have indeed, yeah, Scotty. Recently been to Cambodia, Laos, and also India as well, and then off to Indonesia next month as well on a bit of business. So
Laos?
Yeah.
Is it Lao?
Lao.
You know why I know that? Because I worked at the Lao Food Festival doing security like 2 months ago. That's all I know about Lao.
Yeah, thank you for the correcting there, Benny. You are right. So great experiences, Scotty. It was great to go and see those places and some countries that are developing as well, which is good. India is also a very interesting place to go and see. So it's been great to just get around and do a bit of work over there. It's been good.
Some of the photos on your social media look pretty cool, man.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, a mate of mine teaches the cops how to drive here in Canberra, and he went over to India to do some driver training for the Indian police, and he said it's the scariest thing he's ever done. Mm. Just trying to get through intersections with the cops over there. It's like he aged 10 years.
The thing is, boys, in New Delhi, it's a city that the new part of Delhi has been designed, not exactly like Canberra, but it is sort of choreographed that little bit. So it's organised. But the cars that try and get around there's just so many cars for what are two or three lanes. You've got the equivalent of five or six cars worth for each lane, and there's only three lanes to fit them all. Everybody beeps. The funniest thing is you just say you're 40 cars deep in a traffic line, and next minute it goes from red to green, and the guy's 40 cars back. You're sitting there going, you're kidding, aren't you, mate? Surely not.
Wow, that's awesome. That's very interesting. That is awesome.
It's been good.
You're all set for next Saturday night, the Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy Fight Night, mate?
Cannot wait, Scott. He cannot wait.
Nige from the group in last week. We were talking about it. I know, Benny, you're a bit stiff as a board, as Conor
stiff
McGregor would say.
Stiff
as a board. My mum had to help me put my shoes on yesterday.
You've been training hard, mate. And tickets are still on sale for that one, folks. And you can go to the website, capitalregionmd.org.au. And, of course, I know Brandy's export a lot of corporate tables for his family and stuff like that.
All the Serbs are going to be there. It's going to be like a mini St. Sava. Instead of just dancing and cheering, they'd be screaming for my blood.
Indeed. So how's the training going? You had another sparring session with Brandy on Monday?
Yeah, we trained together on Monday. I had a really good day on Monday. I did my first day. I've done three training sessions in probably 18 months.
Yeah, right.
Went home. Everything was good. I went to bed at 7 p.m., which is saying something for me. I'm usually going to bed at 7 a.m.
Yeah, you're a night owl, yeah.
Absolutely. And I woke up at 1 a.m. and I couldn't move my bloody arm. Like, I literally had like 90 degrees range of movement in my arm. I'm up to about 110 now, so I'm getting better. But that's, yeah, we're going pretty hard. The old biceps, like, hey, what are you doing to me?
Well, I mean, it's...
I haven't moved for a year.
It's really, yeah, your first big crack for about 18 months,
it's
isn't it?
It's been a long time. I haven't trained proper since September last year.
Yeah, right.
I've done the occasional session here and there, but no, it's been good, man. Been
awesome.
Running every day. Like, I've got a few months before I get back into proper shape, but this will be a good little dress rehearsal for my next fight in September.
Nice. All right. Well, the Olympics start this weekend in Rio. I'm going to take a look at that with some rejected Olympic sports coming up for you. But let's kick this off. I tried to show Benny and Steve on YouTube a little bit of Phil X's. If there's a guy called Phil X. He's now playing guitar in Bon Jovi for Richie Sambora. Guy's an absolute gun.
What's wrong with Richie?
Just hates John and wanted some time off. The two of them had a big argument.
Is he still married to that glamour?
Orianthe. I don't think they're... Oh, no, Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
No, they split years ago. They hate each other.
I'm up to date, man. Orianthe. Michael Jackson's guitarist.
He's with Orianthe now. Yeah.
Isn't she in a young Aussie chick?
Yeah. He's in her early 20s. Yeah, bit of a cradle snatcher.
Bloody hell.
So there you go. Well, anyway, Phil X is playing for Sambora, but he also does a thing called Phil X and the Drills. It's his band, and he does guitar reviews on YouTube. The guy's like a firecracker. Sadly, the video I found to show you two, I think he'd had 48 Valium. That's the only excuse for it.
His name's Phil X, as Payos said. It was
Xanax. Xanax. Phil Xanax. Well, listen, him and his band, at the end of every guitar review, they play a cover song with the guitar he's featured, and this is a cover of the Stevie Wonder classic Superstition. It's rocked up to buggery. I thought this would be a cool one to get on the podcast tonight. So let's kick it off with that. Our traffic report with Larry's coming up. And we're all here, of course, thanks to the Butcher Shop and the crew at Lang's Auto.
Without that looking back,
And the Drills on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. And this is a back announce. Am I right?
Yeah, that was very good.
We're with working the cover on of the Stevie Wonder classic, Very Superstitious, Benny.
Thanks, Steve.
There you go.
50%'s a pass.
Yeah,
man.
We're doing
that's
right.
Teamwork, baby. My man.
Yeah. I'm so white. I missed the high five.
I was trying to train Benny up last week. He's going, oh, can I do the back announce as we were going into the intro of a song? And I'm like, no, Benny, that's like an intro. That's a forward roll. That's a back announce.
It's a hook. It's a hook.
Oh, dear. But how good is that version of Superstition?
How did you just describe it to me?
Well, if Stevie Wonder had balls and extra guitars. I mean, Stevie Wonder is a king and his version is unbelievable. And I don't know if you've ever seen the original film clip for that song. It's on a TV
is it a live
set,
sort of thing.
Yeah, it was on a TV set where he was performing live, and there's a bunch of African American guys and girls dancing, and there are some of the sickest dance moves you have ever seen in your life in the original clip. But we thought we'd play that one because it just rocks.
It's a timeless song.
Indeed, indeed. Now a little bit of traffic. Fiji.
Fiji.
Have you been over to Fiji, Stevie?
Not yet, Scotty.
Not your travels?
I'll be there later in the year in December, so I'll be sure
to
report on
are we paying for that? Is that the taxpayers?
Stevie, please give yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Actually, it's funny you say that. I'm taking the missus over back to Fiji where we got engaged for her 40th next April. We're going back over to the island, and I've spoken to the owners so that I can go over and do some video work there while I'm there, and then I can claim my whole portion of the trip.
Yes. Oh,
God. So they're like, yeah, man, you can cut a video for us. Like, beautiful.
Yeah, that's great. I nearly had a there's an Indian guy from Fiji that comes to the club every week, and he's the guy I was talking about, like, on episode 2 or 3.
Yeah.
He's nearly making me cry. The guy, he's like, you're the reason I went to university.
Oh, that guy,
yeah,
right.
That was him. He's flew over from Fiji.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, so.
There you go. Nice work.
To get over there.
Well, it's known for, you know, being laconic and lackadaisical as a country, but.
What's laconic mean, man?
Well, you know, just laid back, cruisy, just not,
is that
you
a
know.
Real word?
Yes, Benny, it is.
Is it a word?
Surely.
Payos, is that a real word?
Yes, all it right. is, Benny.
I've got confirmation.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I had the scariest taxi ride of my life in Fiji. I honestly thought we were going to die. So we got Larry to go over in the chopper and check out this week's traffic report.
Thanks, Scotty and Ben. This is Larry, your eye in the sky, with another official traffic report for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Coming to you from lovely Fiji this week as I throw back a few carver cocktails and puff on a big fat blunt. A little congestion around the Nandi Airport as the incoming drunken tourists fight for a taxi to get to their resorts. People are on edge in Suva as a swarm of mongoose is currently attacking the downtown area. Apparently, those little fuckers are known to steal your keys and in some cases have even been seen taking luggage. Some delays expected on Queens Road as apparently a tuk-tuk has driven straight into a pothole the size of Susan Boyle. Recovery efforts may take up to a few days. All right, folks, I'm out of here. I've got a hangover to work on. If you find me asleep on a random beach tomorrow morning, leave me the fuck alone.
One of them put Hopper to sleep within one round. The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
And without our wonderful sponsors, we wouldn't be here on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. And the crew at Lang's Auto, got to thank them. They jumped on board straight away when we put this little podcast together, Benny.
I spoke to them today.
You spoke to Johnny, did you?
No, not Johnny, his lovely secretary.
I
can't remember her name, but she was extremely polite. And I'm finally booked in. I've booked the tow truck, ironically, with the guy I'm fighting Saturday week's sister, who works at the towing company. Thanks, Mira.
Are you getting the tow before the fight?
Yes.
Yes, smart man. Sorry, I beat the living snot out of you, brother. Will you still turn my car?
Well, that was part of the deal. I'll give you a discount, but just don't stretch him out. So the tow truck's booked for Friday, and because I just want to get there nice and early. Probably they're going to rip into it on Monday.
Okay.
So, nice. Yeah, she'll be good, mate.
There you go. Yeah, no, the guys will certainly sort out the soccer mum van, but I'm going to go down Monday and take pictures of the mechanics laughing, going, Australian heavyweight boxing champion drives around in this.
I'm just going to show up. I'm just going to pop up around the corner.
Folks, no matter what you drive, if you've got dramas or if you just need a good service, the crew at Lang's Auto, 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan will look after you. Go and see them.
He's a world champion with countless belts. He's a guy who struggles to find a good fitting belt. You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben, the Governor Edwards.
That's us. And of course, the Rio Olympics kick off on Saturday. And I think the first events in the pool started about 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. I know the Aussie basketballers are playing. And did you boys hear about Andrew Bogut having a massive whinge? Because the most of the team are staying in the accommodation that's, you know, Rio has built, where apparently, like,
does he fit in the room?
Well, apparently he doesn't fit in the beds for a start. The power trips, you try and flush toilet paper and number twos at the same time, doesn't like that. If everyone tries to flush at the same time, the buildings almost fall over. Yep.
I haven't heard anything good.
No, the US basketball team is staying on a yacht that they've paid for, moored off the harbour.
Wow. Yeah.
That's how bad it is over there.
That's fuck you money.
Yeah, that is for those guys. Paddy Mills reckons they're going to do the US. They play him in game 3 at the Olympics, and Paddy Mills is very keen.
He's a nice bloke, old Paddy. He was training down here at one of the gyms I was training at. Probably about a year ago, while he was over here from the States for a few months. Yep. Bloody top bloke.
Yeah, I met him with the trophy with Aaron Bynes when they won the Spurs. They came into the radio station and we got to hold, because the trophy, the NBA trophy, NBA trophy is called Larry.
Is it?
Yeah, it's named after some dude called Larry, so everyone just calls it Larry.
Is it named after our Eye in the Sky?
No. There's nothing named after our Eye in the Sky. Sorry, Larry. We love you, bro, but no one's naming bloody trophies after you. But yeah, apparently it's just going to be schmozzling. Like, a New Zealand athlete was mugged on his first day there training. Dude, and
when the fire alarm went off, half the people slept through it because they didn't hear it.
Yeah.
There's been leaks through the fire alarms.
Yeah.
All the Aussies were getting their shit stolen when they left because of the fire alarm. Yeah. And what about the bit of the saline?
Oh, the human collapse? Waste.
Yeah. Well, there's the shit in the water. There's floaties that aren't boats.
Yeah.
And the whole where you like pull your boat up to, whatever that's called.
The boat ramp.
The bloody collapse. It's a disaster. It's a disaster.
No, it looks shocking. But anyway, they do kick off. And I love the Olympics. I really do love the Olympics. A big fan of watching the weightlifting every time. I just love seeing big units lift massive amounts of weight.
I love seeing the Russian
weight.
Girls with their beards.
Yeah. Well, they won't be there. They won't be there this year. There'll be no, what was her name?
Max.
I'm just trying to think.
There's one athlete who's going to compete, isn't it? Is that what you're thinking of, Scotty?
No. I'm thinking of the 12th man, her costume. Oh. Remember that? Like years of the Jets cracker popped out of her costume. And just quality stuff. I can't remember. Anyway.
Chaos and I are too young for that, man.
Yeah, I am very old, aren't I? You're not Australian if you haven't listened to the 12th man, though, Benny, so we might have
I think I heard it when I was
do some
rather young.
Yeah, what, like four? That was what they taught you in Charnwood in kindy, wasn't it? But what I want to know, how do they decide what gets to be a new Olympic sport? You know, is it bribery? Is it how good it looks on TV? I'm leaning towards bribery because synchronized swimming shouldn't be seen by anyone. I mean, I know it takes talent, but it's as boring as hell. And who wears full face makeup and a nose peg? Yeah. In the water. No one does that. I don't get it. But anyway, it got me thinking, so it's time for a top five.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut.
Top five.
Yeah, the top five rejected Olympic sports for the Rio 2016 Games. So countries tried to get these in, couldn't get them in, all right? Okay, coming in at number...
This is fact.
Yeah, this is true. 100% true. Coming in at number five, the Don't Let the Balloon Touch the Floor game. I love that game as a kid.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
That'd
as a kid.
That'd be better.
I was doing it yesterday.
Well, it's no different than the bloody ball and the ribbon in gymnastics. Mm. I don't know why that didn't get in there.
Especially the balloon game with the helium balloon. Last away. Everyone's a gold medal winner.
Number four, pin the smile on Kristen Stewart.
Is that possible?
I don't think it is. I don't think
she's
it is.
She's a lesbian now.
Is she?
Yeah, she's
good
had
for
a
her.
Girlfriend for a couple of years.
Fantastic. That's awesome, isn't it?
Why do I know that?
You don't know what laconic means, but you know Kristen Stewart's a rug muncher.
I don't know what laconic, but I know what a colonic is. Bloody hell.
Number three in the top five rejected Olympic sports for the Rio 2016 Games. Spelling boobless on the calculator relay. Well, I reckon we'd win that.
That was time well spent in primary school.
Yeah, wasn't it? Double five, three, seven, eight, zero, 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 8. Yeah. number two, wrestling with your inner demons.
So world champion. Give me the
That's
gold
one of the
medal.
Great metaphors.
And coming in at number one, I'm going to get a drum roll. There it is. Number one in the top five rejected Olympic sports for the Rio 2016 Games. Come at me, bro.
That's a bro sport.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see that. Just a dude, a bouncer on a door. Come at me, bro. That'd be awesome.
I could nominate a few.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Bifferama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Oh, I love this segment. I can smell the goanna oil right now, Benny.
Goanna oil?
Yeah. Well, it just helps with the stiff muscles. Oh, you never used goanna oil when you played footy?
Is this a G-up, Payos?
No, it's not.
Payos is my Google.
What do you do when Stevie's not here?
I just blindly agree with you. I go have a Google and send you a message.
No, go with Scotty. He just rings me after every episode and goes, oh, man, Scotty told me about this. Is that right? Don't worry, Benny. It's all good.
No, goanna oil's good, man. Good on the muscles.
Where do you get it from?
Chemist.
You know what I've actually used in the past? Rapigel, which is like horse Voltaren.
I've heard that'll about that too. I used that on my back once. Yeah. I think you told me.
Tastes good, Benny?
Yeah.
It's just
great. Made my peeps bigger too. It was awesome.
I wish I had some. Yeah. I must have grabbed the wrong stuff.
You grabbed the...
Mine got started burning when I took a piss.
You got the one with the Shetland pony on the front, didn't you?
You got the Clydesdale.
The unicorn.
Well, let's kick off. I've got the UFC 201 breakdown. The first fight we want to talk about here was Jake Ellenberger versus Matt Brown for a welterweight fight. Now, this fight, Jake had been... He'd actually been cut from the UFC.
This was a good fight.
Dude, he had one win and five losses in his last six fights. And he was one of those guys that always sort of showed his potential but could never really execute in a fight. He had a few mental, you know, anxiety problems and all that sort of thing. He actually flew to Vegas out of his own pocket to have a meeting with Dana to beg him for one more fight. Dana granted it for him, but he was thrown to the wolves in taking on Matt Brown, who has a reputation as one of the toughest guys in the UFC. He's a former heroin addict who clinically died like 10 years ago. He's one of those guys who talks tough and says macho shit all the time.
As we call it, the full Nikki Six.
But this is no act, and this guy, he's a legit badass, man.
Okay.
And his attitude is just like, I've been dead, motherfucker. I'm not scared. I'm not scared of a cage fight, you know. Yeah, and you can see he's legit. Like
he's just crazy, dude, man. Yeah.
So the fight starts. Brown charges at him, and he gets caught with a bomb from Ellenberger straight away. Dropped on his ass. He's out for a fraction of a second. Ellenberger jumped on him, but Ellenberger jumped on him. Brown hung in there, and it looked like Ellenberger blew himself out a little bit, just trying to get the finish. He got a bit overexcited.
Yep.
Matt Brown started throwing and landing some decent shots himself. Jake was looking gassed. Brown seemed to start taking over the fight. And then Brown, for the second time, I think he had this mad fight with Eric Silver a couple of years ago. It was like one of the fights of the year. And in that fight, he got caught with a liver kick. And in this one, he got caught with a liver kick as well, which is on the right side of your body. So Ellenberger was actually in Southpaw to catch him with the kick. Got dropped, it's like you're being shot. Like, everyone, doesn't matter how tough you are, you get hit in the liver. Bas Rutten's favorite shot's the liver shot. He says it all the
time. Game over.
You're done. And Jake jumped on him, and that was it, and he got his second chance. We're editing this out, man. An interesting subplot.
That's going to sound really funny because I cut out all the f-ups beforehand.
Just leave it in, man. I'll take it. Brown lost three straight and was cut from the UFC back in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they actually changed their mind. The UFC gave him a second chance, and he'd go on to win 8 out of his next 9 fights.
Yeah,
so hopefully that's a sign of things to come for Jake Ellenberger. And the next fight was the chicks going at it, Karolina Kowalkiewicz and Rose Namajunas. And how good was my Polish pronunciation?
That was very good.
It gets even better. Now, I met Rose in Denver for my fight there last year, along with her former UFC fighter and fellow Glory fighter with me, her fiancé, Pat Barry. I cannot say enough good things about them. They're just beautiful human beings, like absolute sweethearts. I was joking with Pat at the weigh-in. He's there, the doctor's giving us the once over. He's like, close your eyes and you'll push us to make sure you don't fall over. And Pat would pretend to fall over to the doctor. And he's like the main event. And I'm like, Pat, you want to stop f***ing around? They're not going to let you fight. But he's a great bloke. And, I'm very desensitized to violence. Like, I'm not one of those people. I don't get shocked by anything anymore. Yep. Or the world star hip hop. He leaking.
Unless a diamond python falls off a rock in the middle of a podcast.
If it's human, I'm good. If it's python, no good. But in that same night I fought on in October last year, Pat, he got knocked out so bad.
Okay.
And I was actually really upset.
Yeah.
And I only met the guy 2 days before. And that goes to show the kind of character
impact
he
had on you. Yeah.
Yeah. Like literally like 2 days before. And his fiance is, they're both just cut from the same cloth. So the fight starts. Rose was getting the better of the striking exchanges, which was surprising, considering Karolina was a multi-time Muay Thai world champion. The first round clearly went to Rose. Round 2 and 3, Karolina took over, implemented a really strong Thai clinch game, landed vicious knees and elbows, and she got the split decision victory. She's so relaxed before the fight. She just leans against the cage, and she looks like me working in the club at 4:30 in the morning, half asleep. It's unbelievable. We should see her. She's just like, she's getting announced, buffers screaming in her face, and she's just like, yeah, thank you. Like, full Polak. She's pretty cool. So it sets up an all-Polish showdown between Karolina and current champion in the 125-pound division, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and that is how you say it. However, if you said it phonetically, it would be Jedra Zedrasik.
Yeah, right.
So, and look how that's spelled. J's, there's Z's, there's C's, and there's shit all over the place.
Alphabets, mate. Alphabets.
So, I did my research.
How do you say it? But it's Jędrzejczyk.
Jędrzejczyk.
Yeah. Jędrzejczyk.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Z.
CZYZ.
And on to the main event, we got Robbie Lawler versus Tyrone Woodley for the welterweight championship, which is 77 kilos. Very interesting matchup as they're both current teammates at American Top Team of Florida. Robbie's been fighting longer than me by far. He's been fighting for 15 years. He's a fan favorite, blood and guts warrior, coming off 2 all-time great fights against the who's who in the most stacked division in the UFC. And those last 2 fights were Fight of the Year candidates, Carlos Condit and Rory McDonald. Mm-hmm. Those were his first 2 title defenses. So most people, they want to play it safe in a title defense. He just goes balls to the wall, down the torpedoes. I'm throwing bombs. He's a legend. And he's actually won the title from Johnny Hendricks, who we won't get into it, and it's another story, but he's had the quickest fall from grace ever, in my opinion, for any UFC fighter, pretty much. So the fight starts very, very cautious from both fighters. And Robbie unusually backing up to avoid the takedown of the super explosive and awesome wrestler and Tyrone Woodley. So after a few non-eventful minutes, Tyrone threw a feint, bum rushed him as he's done in previous fights, and landed a bomb right hand, dropping Robbie and slammed him with jackhammer rights to get the finish. Robbie took the loss like an absolute champ, and here's him talking about the finish.
And I just had two other ones. One for Robbie. Was it, in hindsight, I know you didn't make much of it beforehand, but was it at all weird fighting someone who you were somewhat friendly with?
No, not at all. I'm a mean individual, and this is what I do for a living, so I would have had no problem doing the same to him.
Here you go, Benny. I've got another big word for you. Pretty pragmatic with his loss there.
Very pragmatic. Yeah, he's a very pragmatic individual.
He is, isn't he? I'm impressed. He's but you didn't know laconic.
Yeah, I still don't know laconic. I'm Googling the shit out of that when I get home. On the same story, funnily enough, Robbie was the referee for Tyrone's first ever professional MMA fight. He was like a guest referee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty interesting. And another thing, it's the seventh UFC title change hands in 7 months and the eighth in 10 months if you go back to Ronda losing to Holly back in November.
Yeah,
that's
right.
How high the level of competition is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely crazy. So let's get on to Brock and Hunt. We've covered this pretty well in the last couple of weeks.
We have.
It's actually been picking up some mainstream attention with Hunt partitioning, and partitioning is a polite way to put it, about stronger punishment for drug use and all that sort of thing.
Mark Hunt's dropped more swear words than the Wolf of Wall Street in the last couple of weeks.
He's thrown more verbal haymakers than he's thrown in his whole UFC career. Yeah. He's been on fire. And he's very, very well respected boxing commentator and historian Max Kellerman talking about it on ESPN.
Where heavyweight Mark Hunt is not pleased in the aftermath of UFC 200, rightfully so. Hunt lost to Brock Lesnar. Now, since then, he said two drug tests come back positive, including one administered the night of the fight. Since, Hunt has championed the idea of Lesnar not getting to keep any of his at least $2.5 million earned for the fight and remains angry about the situation. Here's a quote from him. You've been cheating. You lose all your fight earnings, and since it was cheating, you get fined. You get sued, and you get a fine. You're going straight to court, criminal court, because what you've done is an offense. That's what I want done. That these guys who are cheating don't have more incentive to do it because they do it for financial gain. If you take it all away, they get nothing. Max, interesting point here. Do you agree with Hunt?
Hunt is 100% right about this. 100% right. And what I don't understand is, In our sporting culture, we're so angry at baseball players who juice. The only person they're hurting, the integrity of the game, well, they're hurting the honest player, right? They're cheating them out of a job in a sense. And that's, I'm not like saying that that's not significant, but it's not a full contact sport. It's not a combat sport. We seem to have a much lower threshold for this kind of cheating, which is actually dangerous, in full contact sport like the NFL, where because of their size, we're like, they're all on it, or a combat sport like mixed martial arts, where these guys are taking their lives into their hands. They are literally, Brock Lesnar is 265 pounds, and he is in there to separate you from your senses. That's the point. Hunt is 100% right about this. How do you stop it from happening? Well, in this case, the issue is if your opponent gets caught ahead of time, you lose your payday sometimes. They can't find a replacement. That's it. You've trained all this time. He cheated, so you're out the payday. In this case, he actually got his payday, Hunt, because they went through with the fight, but he lost. He was taking shots from a 265-pound juiced-up monster. And I think the way you stop that in its tracks, because after all, why are they doing it? He's right, to gain a competitive advantage. The way you why do they want a competitive advantage? Because their bottom line is affected. If you say, hey, check this out, 100% of your purse is now going to the other guy, watch how fast that stuff gets taken out of the sport. It like that, it's going to be gone overnight. If they do serious testing like VADA testing, where they actually catch people, and now because of the existence of VADA, which is a very serious testing agency, now other testing agencies are starting to actually catch people because there's competition, they've been shamed into doing it. You actually catch people and 100%, Stephen A., of their money goes to the other guy, watch what happens.
So I think, obviously, Max is 100% correct. The only thing you got wrong with that, Brock weighs in at 265 pounds, but he actually cuts weight, and he's actually over 280 when he steps in the ring. He's like 128 kilos, and that's fact. Yeah. What's your take on it, Steve?
Look, my opinion on this, Benny, is that the UFC has a massive predicament because guys like Brock Lesnar are your biggest earners, and for them to strike that balance between getting a big guy on a big show, as it was with UFC 200, and allowing him to push the boundaries. I mean, I'm not going to say I have no doubt that the UFC knew that he was probably in a condition where he was going to come in this fight with that, inverted commas, competitive advantage. But for them to risk losing the money out on that event after the whole controversy with Jones and Cormier, after all the other pullouts and problems that they had, for them, they need to figure out a way they can strike that balance between it and go, okay, you know, we need that big name, we need the draw card, but at the same time, they're sweeping under the rug, if you ask me.
Yeah, they would have known about it. I agree with the 100% thing. I mean, Mark's right, and there's a lot of fanboys and keyboard warriors going, oh, shut up, you sook. You said he would be on roids before you took the fight. You had the fight anyway, so shut up. I mean, one, these people wouldn't say that to Mark's face. And two, you know, that Max is right. He could have killed him. He could have killed him. And imagine if Mark hadn't had a diet or caught a serious injury.
Week. Is it attempted murder or attempted manslaughter?
Yeah, what happens then?
Attempted manslaughter a thing?
If his family, you know, if he had a diet or got seriously injured, his family would have sued the living shit out of the UFC.
Well, there's actually a theory that's part of the reason why the Frittata brothers sold. Mm-hmm. Because I thought, we've got Asada in now. People are getting popped left, right, and center. There's been told to change his tactics. The sport is not going to get any bigger anytime soon because they've got a whole bunch of problems they got to sort out. So that is actually a huge theory about why they got rid of it.
Yeah, okay.
Well, someone weighed $4.2 billion in front of me, I'd probably take it as
well. Oh, yeah, you would.
I'm going to go off on a little tangent here.
You think about it, but you go.
There's a Max Kellerman, the guy that was just talking. There's an interesting little story. There's a video that pops up on Facebook every now and then. It's footage of... I watched this live when I was like 15 back in 99. I'm pretty sure it's around that time. I wasn't even boxing at the time. And there's a fight, and the winner gets announced, and the winner goes to hug the loser, and they both already got their gloves off, and the guy just dog shots the other guy, knocks him out. He ended up dislocating his jaw, broke his jaw, knocked a few teeth out because he didn't have his mouth going anymore. And you hear Teddy Atlas screaming, that's assault, he should be arrested in the ring, blah, blah, blah. Well, that guy, he did go on to get arrested because he murdered Max Kellerman's brother.
Holy hell. What? True story. I know true the story. Video footage you're talking about. I've seen that guy get decked. Yeah,
that is mad. I watched that live Friday night. I'm pretty sure it was Friday Night Fights back in the day. I was playing footy back then.
Yeah, okay.
I couldn't believe what I saw. And Teddy Atlas nearly had an aneurysm watching it.
Yeah, as you
crazy
would.
Footy. So.
Nice tangent, Benny.
Thanks.
back on track.
All right, I'm back. All right, McGregor Diaz 2, it's on August 20.
It is.
UFC 202. Arguably the biggest rematch we've had so far. Both guys are training the house down, and Nate is looking jacked. Well, as jacked as a skinny fat guy can get, as Connor would say. But he does look pretty bloody swole. I'd say he's probably in the 80 kilo area at the moment, which is bloody huge for him. McGregor's training with a plethora of guys he's flying in with Nate's exact body type.
Yeah, big, tall, rangy guys. Yeah.
And he's never done that before because 50% of his opponents in the UFC have actually pulled out before they made the fight.
Yeah.
And here's some highlights of their press conference they had together.
What's up, everybody? How are you? I apologize for the wait. Thank you for waiting patiently. Thank you for coming today. UFC 202 takes place Saturday, August 20th at the T-Mobile Arena. And it's headlined by the rematch between the notorious Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz.
You know, what kind of fighter would I be if I lost a contest at a specific weight against a specific individual? And then I said, well, you got me this time. I'll get you, cut a load of weight, and I'll get you this time. I'll get you at that weight. So it makes sense for me to have the contest at 170. To right the wrong, you know, to leave no questions. This is the one. This is where I put everything to rest. I'm going to go in and do what I always do. I'm going to go out, press forward, have that man backed up, similar to the way I had him backed up in the last fight, and I'm going to tee off on him. This time, I'm going to be a lot more prepared for the size and the weight and for the distance also. One thing I underestimated was his durability and his experience. I will not make that same mistake again.
Yeah, I got my team. That's a strong team, like always. And I'm gonna bring in some sparring to some other people.
Make no mistake, I am the undisputed
145-pound UFC champion. And that is my division, a division I have destroyed. Saturday night now, two fighters get to fight and rise up and see where we are. But make no mistake, that 145-pound division is my division. I am the world champion at that weight, and I will continue to dominate that division. I have other business that has presented itself that I must handle first. But make no mistake, 145, 155, these are all my divisions, and I will continue to come back and dominate them.
I expect them to be prepared and ready to rock and roll.
How? What do you think the difference is going to be?
We're going to have to watch UFC 202 on August 20th to find out.
How many cones does Nate Diaz have before each press conference? Seriously.
He's punched a few. And, man, I love Conor. I like Nate too, to be honest. He's a real fighter, man. But Conor just spoke about the experience factor.
Mm.
Now, most people just see it, oh, he got dropped and he got choked out. The way that Nate went about finishing that fight, first of all, Conor shot him for the takedown. Conor's not a wrestler.
Yeah.
He was hurt and gassed, and he was in trouble. So for him to even shoot for a takedown means he's in a very bad spot.
Yep.
When they hit the ground, and I'll just talk you through the finishing just to show you all that's involved in it. It's not just he threw a few punches and locked the choke in. Nate ended up in side control. He secured Conor's arm, softened him up with punches and distracted him with some elbows. Went straight into full mount, landed some more shots to get Conor to give up his back. So after he took his back, he put his arm around his neck, but not right on the neck. He wasn't trying to sink it in like an amateur straight away. He softened him up and distracted him with some more punches to the side, slid in the choke, and even when the choke was in, and he could have ended the fight there, he still rolled to the side
yep.
to make it all but impossible for Conor to escape. That is excellent situational awareness and a seasoned vet. I reckon it's a great fight, but I think afterwards, I think Nate's going to win in the late rounds. I think.
Oh, you think Nate will win this one again?
Yeah, I really do. I don't see how he's going to win.
What does that do for McGregor, like going back to 145?
This doesn't damage his stock one bit.
No, okay.
No one else, GSP wouldn't step up one weight division, let alone two.
Yeah.
This does nothing to damage Conor's stock.
This is one question I wanted to ask you, Benny, so if he gets done again now, McGregor, is that you think this has absolutely no effect on him whatsoever?
And champ,
yeah,
because he went up anytime, anywhere, anyone, any weight.
I guess I had the thought process going into this fight that if he lost, he was in some serious trouble.
Yeah, me too. But again, what
a honor. No one in boxing is different because in the lower weight divisions, it's only like 1 kilo, 2 kilo separate some of the divisions. In the UFC, it's like 7 kilos between most of the weight divisions.
Yeah,
Conor's stepping up 11 kilos here. 11 kilos in a lean frame when you're only a little dude.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight.
That's
a large percentage of your body weight.
Yeah.
He's got nothing to lose, mate. He's a smaller guy fighting a bigger guy.
Yeah.
And he's not making any excuses. Win, lose, or draw. If he loses, he'll take the loss like a man, just same as he did in the last one.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He handled it quite well.
He's a champ, mate. Yeah. So I reckon after this, he goes back down to 145. And
that'd be Aldo.
He has a rematch with the interim featherweight champion for the Aldo. Unified title for the 145-pound strap, and that will be probably a bigger rematch than Nate. And this is already one of the biggest rematches ever. So that's all kinds of awesome.
He was impressive too at 200. I thought Jose Aldo against
Frank
Edgar Jr.
Dude. We spoke about it last week. Yeah. Jose, I can't believe he passed the drug test. He looked like a completely different bloke.
Yeah.
Like he was jacked, man. He was on the swell.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's he obviously just trained. He might have been doing more cardio when he fought Conor or something. Yeah. But might have been on the pin.
Yeah.
Who knows? All... Mate, he looked awesome and explosive.
Yeah.
Maybe he just needed
to get chin. He had that loss.
Yeah.
And maybe
10 years undefeated. You need something to spark your fire again. Yeah. And on a quick side note in MMA news, have you seen a recent photo of Overeem? We'll put one on the website. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
I've seen him about a month ago. He looks nothing like what when he fought you,
mate,
all those years ago.
Yeah, but when he fought like obviously he'd been sleeping with Brock Lesnar's supplier.
He hasn't seen his testicles for 6 months.
Yeah.
Dude, now I've seen more muscle mass on a pool cue. He looks like a completely different bloke.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
he looks like bloody, he's gone from the black Incredible Hulk to friggin' Urkel.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how much he's changed.
That's what happens when you're on the gear.
Bloody hell. Anyway, so that's enough for MMA. We got a little bit of boxing news. Triple G's got his next fight lined up against Kell Brook from the UK. Kell is the IBF welterweight champ. He's stepping up two weight divisions to middleweight. And I say middleweight against the hardest punching middleweight of all time. Here's some highlights from the press conference.
Absolutely. You know, it's the biggest fight in world boxing. You know, it's the fight that, you know, makes me so excited to be a part of the game. I'm the best welterweight on the planet. You know, nobody seems to want to fight me. You know, and Triple G, the same in middleweight. You know, so I think it's the best fight and the best. You know, look at me today. You know, when we stand next to each other, there's not gonna be nothing. You know, in size. You know, I'm gonna bring in the speed up to the middleweight division, and we're already getting big numbers from the power. So I'm gonna bring in, you know, big power as well. You know, so it's. I'm ready. I'm ready for this fight. This is what I want to do in the game. You know, be the best. You've got to beat the best. So it don't get any bigger than Triple G. You know, for me, you know, this fear factor in this. I'm gonna be so sharp, so alive for that night, September 10th. You know, I wanna see. Nobody's ever got the best out of me in all my opponents I've been in with. You know, I wanna test myself to the highest you can be. You know, in this sport, and I know 10th of September, I know that we're going to see the best in me. And I'm excited myself, you know, to see what I can do, because, you know, we know what we can do in the gym. You know, I always seem to do enough. I always find a way to win, you know, and, it's going to be the same September 10th. You know, it's going to be massive drama in the fight, you know, and the fans, you know, you don't get any bigger than this. You know, it's sell out like lightning. You know, and that's what warms my heart, you know, that I'm giving back to the fans. You know, this is the biggest fight in world boxing. You know, I've stepped up there, I've shocked the world, you know, in this fight, and I'm going to shock everyone, you know, September 10th. It's like, you know, when people are going on about weights, you know, Mike Tyson weren't the biggest heavyweight. He was fighting guys three, four stone heavier, and, you know, we're an animal, you know, and you're going to see the best in me. I'm a natural weight at 160, and watch me perform September 10th. Thank you.
Well, sorry for everyone that just fell asleep. I think that's the worst audio clip I've ever asked you to play, mate. Sorry.
Well, Triple G said nothing, didn't he?
All he said was big drummer show, which he says every time, and yeah. Thuffer and Thuckatash is about all Kel said.
Yep.
He's going to die.
If he dies, Benny, you're going to feel really awkward, mate.
Yeah, I'll retire from podcasting.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well,
oh,
shit. Not really.
Okay, cool. That'd be a bit ordinary. 12 episodes. Oh, no, I can't do it anymore.
You got to get some new voices, man.
What?
That's just the punter voice.
I always do the same thing. Oh, what do you mean?
That's your Irishman, that's your Russian, your punter. They're all the same, man.
That's his wide world of sports 12 man special.
Oh, what do you mean, Maxine?
No, that was Zippy.
Zippy.
Zippy. Yeah. Zippy, the floor manager at Wide World of Sports.
Hurry up and get in here, Maxie.
That sounded nothing like Zippy.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, dearie me. So is that it, Benny?
That's a wrap,
that
mate.
Is another massive one. You're getting bigger.
I'm all about getting bigger.
You're shrinking ahead of the big fight.
Hey.
Your segment's getting bigger.
I'm down to chubby.
Two men, two microphones, and no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards.
And got to thank our other sponsors, The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, who've come on board to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Benny, I know you went in and did a big shop last week as you prepare for the fight against Brani Zek for Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy. How's the meat going? Have you smashed it all?
I am Butcher Shop fueled, and I feel amazing. It's been awesome. Actually, like today, I season all the meat and stuff when I get it, put all the salt in there, and I chop it up. Out of one T-bone, and I'm obviously a big eater, I get like 2.5 meals out of one T-bone steak.
Oh, you're not trying then.
Well, I'm pretty full.
Pick it up,
let me tell you. They're just, mate, bloody good food. The bacon's long gone.
Oh, the bacon is so good.
I got
good.
The lamb defrosting, and I think I'll be in there in a couple of days to restock.
Mate, you got to try the thing that's getting featured on their Facebook page tomorrow. It's the pork pear log.
I
had one for dinner tonight.
You had me at log.
Yeah, how good did the house smell when you walked in tonight? Pork mince with pear in it, wrapped in more pork, and then fig and balsamic sauce inside it, and then wrapped in prosciutto.
Jesus, that's
so good.
That's exotic.
So good. 30 minutes in the oven, job done. Dinner 180? Was sorted. Yeah, 180, mate. Everything is 180 for 30 minutes, and job is sorted. Stevie, obviously, no, Butcher Shop over where you've been of late. You've been all over the world, but you've kept a close eye on what's going on sporting-wise around the place.
That's exactly right, Scotty. So a bit of a pardon the interruption type segment now, going over a few of the big topics going on in world sport at the moment. Now, we touched on it briefly before, boys, but first topic, the Olympic Games starting in Rio de Janeiro this week on Saturday morning our time.
Yep.
Boys, it's been a bit of a farce leading up to it. There's been all the issues with not only all the teams around the world, the Russian Federation and all the problems they've been having with their athletes, Australian Olympic team and you know, Kitty Chiller's issues with guys like Kyrgios and Tomic, the problems with the accommodation. Is this going to be a bit of a fast Olympics, boys, or is it actually going to turn out to be a good Olympiad once it gets going?
Oh, I don't think the IOC would let the world see anything but good pictures because the IOC are so anal. I mean, we're probably going to get sued for saying the word Olympics right now. Seriously, I know when I was on the radio, we used to go through briefing meetings with HR departments in the lead up to Olympics about what you could and could not say. Basically, your journos could get away with everything, but we weren't allowed on air to replay audio of any Olympic events or stuff. It's insane, the copyright ties around that event. So I think the IOC will keep a pretty tight lid on it.
Well, yeah, well, where there's smoke, there's fire. So I think...
Oh, that's just in the dorm rooms.
That's what I was going to say, literally.
They look like Year 8 dorm rooms. I was going to mention before, Matty Dellavedova posted a photo in his dorm room.
Who's that?
He plays for the Cavs.
Yeah, the Cavs in
basketball.
NBA.
Basketball. I'm no good with abbreviations, man.
Look, he's a pretty laconic type of player.
What's a Cavalier? Is he a Cavalier? What is a
Cavalier? Benny, you're asking questions that I don't have answers to.
He plays for the Cavs.
He's just moved to the Bucks, actually, ahead of next year. But he posted a photo. It looked like something you'd be in your year 8 high school, when you're going on camp.
Yeah, that's when you go away, stay at a Christian youth centre somewhere.
That's right. And like you said, Scotty, if you can't flush the toilet properly and there's issues if the smoke alarm goes off, then that's probably going to play on the athlete's mind a little bit as well.
You'll be doing the Andre the Giant and taking a shit in the bathtub. That's what I used to do.
And then we'll be covering it up.
No, not the bathtub. At the yachting venue.
Which happens to be Copacabana Beach.
I just love that the AOC and everyone have come out and said to all the athletes who are competing in triathlon and things like that, I just don't go under the water.
Oh,
how are you not meant to go under the water? But you're still going to take on water.
Yeah. You're taking on shit.
Yeah, you turn your head up to breathe. You've got water. You're going to be eating other people's food that they've eaten and have already said goodbye to.
Days ago.
I don't think it's going to be one of those things where the IOC president at the end of it goes, this is the best Olympics we ever had. Yeah. I reckon they'll get through it. All the events will come off all right and that, but I think there's going to be a whole lot of dramas along the way behind
the
scenes.
You know how they started at the Sydney 2000 Olympics with it? Like, remember when Nicky Webster was strung up from the roof on the wires?
Trying to forget.
And that's basically happened, you know, at every Olympic since.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to be the guy or girl strung up from the roof of Rio's stadium because you Brazilian, would be fearing for your life. You would be fearing.
Brazilian riggers.
It'll be interesting.
I think we'll just see how it goes, boys. I think we judge it in about a month's time.
It might actually help with the ratings because everyone's going to be waiting to see what the hell goes wrong.
There's talk, the stadium to collapse. Yeah.
There's talk that in the opening ceremony, Gisele Bündchen, the famous Brazilian supermodel, is going to get mugged as part of the opening ceremony,
show what happens on the streets.
Brazilian culture.
To reflect the Brazilian culture. Now, is that not a bit weird to me?
Shadow Sonnen was right.
If that's the case,
Brazil, you get knocked on the head.
What's your space, Scotty? It's been talked about.
Okay. Do we have any Brazilian listeners, man?
Yeah, we do, actually.
We do,
Porra.
But just, if that's the case, if they're doing that to represent Brazilian, and there's talk that Australia's going to get the next Olympics at the moment. They're talking about that. Well,
after Tokyo.
After Tokyo, they're talking that Australia's going to get the next one. If that's the case, then we need to have someone in double pluggers eating a Chico roll walking down the main straight in the opening ceremony.
Punching a Winnie Blue. what about, did you see the Olympic flame? There's a highlight reel of all the stuff that's gone wrong with the Olympic flame while it's traveling through.
Well, screwed up in Sydney. What's it going to do in Rio? It got stuck in Sydney.
Well, getting stuck's one thing. With people trying to jump the person holding the flame, whether it's an old lady or someone even in a wheelchair got knocked over.
Torches are worth a fair bit of money and you get to keep them.
Dude,
running.
But you see the security next to the flame when it was running through the city? There's like 10 security guards either side flanking. And there was about 5 incidents. Mm-hmm. I saw in this little highlight
montage,
reel, quote unquote, low light reel. It's unbelievable, man. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I've spoken about Brazilians and their sense of humor before. Mm. Awesome people.
Yeah.
But I don't think something as grand as the Olympics should have ever gone to a country.
No, not,
with
not
so
a country with so much
like
debt
that.
And problems and poverty. Yeah, no. And but I did hear a thing the other day about that. If you take out countries like that at the moment, there's only about 10 countries that'll be able to put their hands up to do the job properly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I reckon they should just have them in Sydney every 4 years. I mean, they did such a good job in Sydney.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
London was pretty good too, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Beijing, you couldn't see too much through the smog, but...
Yeah.
I mean, they got through the World Cup a couple of years ago as well, down there in Brazil. Yeah. So I think let's give them the time of day to see what happens and we'll go from there.
They'll get through it. But there was still, even with that, there was so much stuff. I remember...
I had friends that went that took personal security when they went to the World Cup in Brazil, they were that worried.
But there's also photos of, there'd be like the government spending so much money on all this stuff, and there's a homeless dude sleeping in the construction area, you know, like just crazy, like a homeless dude, like dozens of homeless people taking shelter in the premises.
Yeah.
It's crazy, crazy times.
It's going to be crazy. I think
it'll be good. Yeah.
I'll be watching.
Let's
I might have to watch the bloody, what we just saying before, synchronized swimming to see if anything goes wrong.
In two podcasts from now. Let's have a wrap of the Olympics and go from there. Yeah.
Second test starts tomorrow, boys, Australia versus Sri Lanka.
I'm out.
Is it a case that we're just, Scotty, a little bit too arrogant in terms of, you know, number one team in the world again, facing the spinners on the subcontinent? We've lost 7 straight tests on the subcontinent, and Sri Lanka rolled us after we bowled them out for 160-odd in the first innings.
Yeah,
so
well, Australian
where
batsmen,
do we stand?
Well, they can't seem to face spin. And Australia over the years predominantly have not done well on pitches around the world.
Yep.
Here on flat decks that you have in Australia, you know what the ball's going to do. It's going to come onto the bat quick.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine for
plenty
them. But any pitch with a bit of movement in it or a crack or anything like that, Australians are useless because they don't train on pitches like that. We need the curators here in Australia to create pitches you get in the
subcontinent.
Tell
them to take a few days off.
Just send them over to St. Kitts on a shitty school pitch and make them practice, you know, make
you're
them
right,
practice for a month or something.
But you're
seriously.
Right, though, when you say that. It's not just the subcontinent, is it? We go over and we face
anywhere.
The Duke ball in England.
The Duke
we
ball
struggle
in England
against the swings.
Yeah, we can't do it.
Yeah, and then the pitches crack up big time in the West Indies as well, where we struggle. So curious to see how the second test pans out. Like you said, if our batters can actually focus and get on with the job, then we might be half a chance. But any time you roll a team after losing the toss for 160 in the first innings and don't win a test match, you need to have a serious
Buff Lehman, Darren Lehman signed on to the end of 2019 today as well.
Yep,
so,
right,
I mean, I'm quite happy. I think he's done a great job with the crap that went on before with Mickey Arthur and that was just
homework
a schmozzle. All
that sort of stuff.
All
that Mickey.
Stuff. All right, go and do some homework.
I don't know shit about cricket, man.
Mickey Arthur, buddy.
But it'll be interesting. I mean, we obviously got some very talented cricketers, but it seems some of our training methods leave a lot to be desired when it comes to playing outside of our own country.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Rugby league, boys, first of a couple of topics on rugby league. First thing I wanted to mention was what is in my mind the absolutely ludicrous suspension of Tyson Frizzell for the referee touch. Scotty, is this just, do they need to come out now and say, we made a mistake with the Bulldogs player, was it Clemmer? We made a mistake with Clemmer earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Let's put a
draw
a line
changed,
under
they
it.
Changed what they changed the rule last week. So what happened, prior to last week, the rule was, if you touched a referee with...
Did Blocker Roach bring this rule?
when he touched what's his face on the head? Mick Stone. But I don't know. They changed the rule so that prior to that, if you touched the ref with vicious intent, you got suspended. Mm-hmm. Now, if you touch the ref, you're gone. If they're going to stick with this, they have to be, you know, adamant and go, okay, you touched the ref, you didn't make it, you're gone.
You flick past him, you're gone.
Yeah.
What happens, Scotty? You just say it's a Knights player, it's a preliminary final, and he does what Frizzell did, and he misses the biggest game of the year because of that.
Well, man, if we're in the position to be in a preliminary final, I'd be stoked because we're on the bottom of the table.
True. You've only got 16 places to jump up.
Just
change.
Yeah, they changed the rule last week. Last week, and all the clubs were informed, all the players
did
were
the
informed.
Ref- file the complaint or the...
Match review
panel.
He picked it up later on and that's how they charged him. But he shouldn't have got it. And it was just a tap. He was just getting
They're
going
to kill the sport, man.
Yeah, and that's
like
what...
Like, shoulder charges. It's just one little step at a time.
Well, you've got little shitheads...
It's nothing like as exciting as it used to be.
Yeah, you've got little shitheads like Josh Reynolds and people like that going around baiting front rowers and getting away with blue murder because they know they're not going to...
I'd be banned for life after one game.
Oh, me too. You know they're not going to get one on their chin. And you've got guys like Peter Sterling, who's one of the most, you know, thorough and insightful voices in rugby league, saying the other night on the coverage, geez, I wish the big boys could smash the little blokes again. Could put one on their chin.
Yeah,
because the game is turning into a farce.
That's right. From those little issues, that's right. And it gives them that ability to goad the big boys and not knowing that they're going to get smacked, you know, a session later.
Yeah.
Boys, Canberra Raiders, big win last week against South. South's biggest defeat against the Raiders in their history.
Are they top three?
Are they the real deal? That's the question.
After this weekend, we'll know.
Yeah.
They got Cronulla this weekend.
I think they've got to beat Cronulla or Melbourne in the next 2 weeks. Yeah. And then if they can do that, then they'll
go. Cronulla's number one.
Cronulla's on top of the table. Melbourne's two.
Did they have a draw or a loss last weekend or something?
Cronulla had a draw on Monday night. Yep. Yeah. Against they're up against a Titans team that really lifted. And I mean, that Titans team, you've got
Hain.
Not yet. maybe this
Sunday
weekend.
Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
he'll be
this
there.
Weekend he'll be there. Yep. But you know, Conrad Hurrell's come in. Ryan James, the front row, should have played State of Origin this year. He's in my team for next year for the Blues.
Great.
And is it Taylor or Roberts? Tyrone Roberts from the Knights has played well up there. And the
Greg Bird's still going around and playing well for him as well.
Well, he lifts against Paul Gallen because they're mates and all that. Stuff. So, Cronulla didn't lose. It was a draw. But, yeah, if the Raiders can nail the Sharks and nail Melbourne, then definitely, you know, they're definitely, title shot.
I went out to Public in Manuka for a steak like 3 weeks ago. You guys will be able to confirm this. But I was watching.
That you were there?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I was there.
I put a GPS chip in your phone that doesn't work, Benny.
I was there.
He was there with his tablet.
And I saw Ricky Stewart there, went up and said g'day and had a chat. And all the Raiders boys were watching the game from that day where Rapana got the match winner right at the end.
Yeah.
And the enthusiasm and how excited they all were.
That was against the Knights.
Oh, well, if I knew that, I definitely would have brought it up. Sorry to bring that up, Scotty.
That's all right.
But just the enthusiasm. You could see they're all there hugging each other. They're so excited. I'm really happy
for them.
Didn't
you do some training with them at the start of this year?
I went out there for just before. It was about January, February last year. They were in preseason hammered.
Yeah.
And, they just.
You and Joshy Tonner went out.
Ricky said. You get the beep button ready, he goes, I like tough hanging out with the boys. not the, you know, pump myself up or anything. But a great, absolute legend, like seriously top group of guys. But I remember when I was running around with them, like around 2000, 2001, it wasn't the best morale, wasn't the best vibe around the club, but they've cleaned house and there's so many new faces and it's just, Ricky runs a tight ship, he's a great bloke and is top coach, man.
Yeah.
If they win, mate, I'll be so happy for him.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Hodgson, the Pom that he bought in and Whitehead.
And Elliot Whitehead's going well, isn't he?
Such good buys. No one knew them at the start of the year and look how good they're going. And Austin.
Yeah.
Austin couldn't crack first grade at the Tigers 2 years ago.
The Viking. Yeah. I can't believe he cut his hair, man. If he shaves that beard, I'm going to smash it. Yeah. He's the Viking. He strikes me as one of those guys who's not necessarily the best athlete.
He tries his guts out.
But he goes 100% and he's born for rugby. Like Wally Lewis. You can't see Wally Lewis, you know, winning 100-meter sprint or anything.
Oh, shit, no. Yeah. Well, he used to have bungers at halftime.
Exactly. Yeah. But born for rugby league. Yeah. Just a rugby league brain and never gives up.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, no, very interesting game. Let's see how the Raiders go over the next few weeks.
Indeed,
and we can make a judgment from there. Bledisloe Cup is coming up again, boys.
Yeah, rah-rah. Who gives a shit?
Super Rugby final this week. No Aussie teams. Quick question then. Yeah. It's 15 years now. Are we gonna win the Bledisloe back anytime soon?
You'd like to think so at some point, but
probably no chance.
If you listen to Alan Jones, when Bledisloe and stuff's on, the former Wallaby coach, the renowned broadcaster, he is scathing of Australian rugby and behind it. And I mean, he was so successful in the 80s with that squad.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd like to think
the nepotism behind the scenes.
It seems there's a lot of bureaucratic bullshit that goes on with Australian Rugby Union at the moment. And that's why guys like Matt Giddo and Nick White and, you know, half of Australia's great players are over in bloody France.
I was not bothering anymore.
I trained Matt for help with his rehab last year when he did his shoulder or his knee or something. I hope we come good, but as long as Italy doesn't win, and call me started with all the Italian listeners, I had a kick. Was it 2003? Was that a World Cup year?
It was, yeah.
I had a kick this dude in he's an Italian. He must have been a front row. He's a friggin' monster. I had to kick him out of shooters. He's on the piss. The whole Italian, there's like four or five Italian guys in shooters, but the whole team was walking around the city in their tracksuits. And he was a monster. I'm a 19-year-old
bouncer,
kid.
Yep.
And he was a K-1 dickhead.
Get him out.
Yeah. Oh, I got him out, but he's a dickhead. So as long as Italy doesn't win, I'm happy.
Well, they won't win the Bledisloe, but New Zealand. Quick one on European football, boys. Paul Pogba is poised to move from Juventus to Manchester United for £100 million as a transfer fee. In the NBA, the NFL, guys are starting to earn money in the region of $20, $30, $40 million a year. Is this just becoming a real kick in the face to the real supporters out there, boys? The fact that the amount of money that is being splashed around amongst these big clubs, is it just becoming...
What's a transfer fee? Does that go to the player
or
the club?
That's just between the clubs. Paul Pogba, though, will then earn 300,000 British pounds per week just to play sport.
So what's that, like 600 plus?
600
it's about 500
a
week.
Is it a kick in the face, Benny, for you see your fighters who go out there and earn, you know, 50,000 a fight, 100,000 a fight? I mean, this is just
ludicrous. But it's obviously the sponsorship dollars are there for them to be able to afford it. So the sport's been built to a level.
It's the biggest sport
where the clubs can afford it. So it's as easy as saying, you know, golf players make more money than bloody squash players, professional squash players. It's because golf is, you know, it's on a lot more TVs, there's a lot more advertising. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. Earning that much money is ridiculous for anyone.
Different world.
Oh, you would, you know, that is, what do you say, Benny? You rich.
I'd have a 10-story mansion in Charnwood.
I'd just buy Carabar. But it's ridiculous money. It's ridiculous money.
You could buy all the Queanbeyan for a tenth of that.
I just use it to become the mayor. Fix all the road. But
sheriff.
If the money's there for the sport and they're prepared to pay it, you can't knock them. But it is a ludicrous amount of money to pay one person.
So as a secondary question, is it important that we keep salary caps in Australian sport, like in your rugby leagues, to avoid guys like your Sonny Bills, Jared Hayden trying to go elsewhere and that sort of thing?
I think they're important for, not necessarily for situations like that, which are, you know, obviously do pop up, but just to keep the sport interesting and keep it competitive.
And keep all
the... Yeah, but it doesn't though, because the salary cap gets rorted by third-party agreements. And
by boats in driveways.
I look at my club, Newcastle, right? We don't have a leagues club attached to the football ground like a lot of clubs do. We're one of we make the least amount of money out of pretty much all the rugby league clubs.
But wouldn't it get worse if you just opened the floodgates?
Well,
aren't you minimising a problem that you
maybe? But if you
of?
Found, you know, if you, you know, Dr. what is it, Marvin Corkash or whatever his name is in England, is thinking about buying the Knights. That's still you know, and this guy's like truly rich. Makes Nathan Tinkler look like a kid going to the shop with 50 cents. big time. Ridiculous amounts of money. And he owns two rugby league teams in England now.
Yeah. Well, so you look at Parramatta this year, look at the Melbourne Storm going back.
Look at Newcastle. 10 years as well. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. They're rubbish.
But look at Newcastle on the opposite end of that, though. And that's the thing. When you can't draw the talent, you can't draw the right people and the right investors, knowing that they're held back by
and
that.
And you've got four clubs at the moment being managed by the NRL.
Yeah.
And then you've got clubs out there that are privately owned and some that are propped up by, you know, News Limited and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's interesting. The cap, if it was 100%, you know, if you couldn't cheat on
enforceable.
It. Yeah, if it was 100%, thanks, Benny. My brain wasn't working then. But
colonic.
If it was laconic.
Colonic.
Laconic, Benny. Close to iconic, but not that
Mom, what's colonic? Yeah.
Well, let me tell you a story. I don't know. It'd be interesting. If it could be enforced, yes. But the fact that it can't be, who knows?
You don't think minimising helps things a little bit?
I don't know, man. Ask me when we're top eight.
Yeah. you'll have grey hair. we'll be on episode 478.
Finish the podcast. Podcast won't exist then.
Done. Yeah. Final topic, boys, in the wide world of sports. In about 3 weeks' time, college football is bringing one of its opening games of the season to ANZ Stadium, the University of California, I think it's Wild Dogs or something like that, versus University of Hawaii.
Yep.
Is gridiron a sport that can really take off in Australia? Do you boys think that it's something that can really take off? I get the feeling that they're pushing the button with this, but I'm not sure.
I think it's one of those things, like along with baseball, it's so ingrained in American culture that people grow up with it. They have a sentimental attachment, emotional attachment to the sport.
I think you're born into it.
It's the same as rugby league in America.
AFL for that matter.
Look at rugby league in England. It's only in the north of England, the very north, the south of it couldn't give a shit about rugby league. They don't even know it exists.
Yep. see how it goes then. ANZ Stadium in 3 weeks' time. I don't think it's going to gain a lot of interest, if you ask me, especially a college game.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what Australia is trying to do is put on a great show because they...
It's more of a spectacle.
They'd have put it in Melbourne, they would have filled the MCG because Melburnians would go and watch two flies crawl up a wall.
But Scotty, there's going to be... They think 30 million US viewers are going to watch this. So they want to put on a good show, you know, from Australia. But I just... I think you'll be struggle to get 50,000 Australians that actually...
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Speaking of two flies crawling up a wall... Yes. Well, not really. I just wanted to chime in. What's your thoughts on Green fighting Kane Watts tonight?
Danny Green?
Yeah.
He's come back. Well, I get the feeling from a few of the articles I read last week that he's really angling towards another Mundine rematch.
Well, it's done. It is. That's why you were away, I think.
It's confirmed. Beautiful.
It's confirmed.
It is done. Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're saying both fighters will make 10
million. And he's on Nostradamus, eh?
And Mundine's actually there in the crowd front row.
Wow.
Yeah. So the pressure's on for Green.
So if Green loses tonight, if Green loses tonight, it's still on, but it takes a lot out of that next fight, doesn't it?
Unfortunately, I didn't see that in the Hindu daily, so excuse me. Boys.
Oh, good golly, normally.
I missed that one.
Normally, you'd know like 1 second after the press
release. Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it's a little hard to get the news over there sometimes. Yeah, but that's good. I think that was in my mind, you know, why he was coming back. And obviously with that set, you know, can he get that win over Mundine?
Well, it's at 83 kilos. They're trying to do it at the end of the year or early next year.
So what's that, a cruiser, Melbourne, Sydney? Yeah, that's heavy for Mundine, though.
It is heavy for Mundine. Although Mundine played rugby league at like 95,
He wasn't.
95. Not 95. Sorry, early.
It would have been in the 80s. Low 90s. Yeah.
It'd be a big box office.
But not for boxing though. Like Mundine looks very healthy at 75.
Yeah.
Green looks healthy at 90. Though. 90. They're, that's right. Green's a much bigger man, as we spoke about last week. I reckon. And Green's been the much more active fighter. Mundine's coming off hip surgery in the UK. Cost him $40,000.
Wow.
I reckon all the odds are in Green's favour for this, but he's got to get past a big banger,
and it'll be it'll be a big main event box office, won't it? For Australian
it'll be
huge. Fans,
it'll be
if Green
good,
wins,
better.
If
it
Green
won't
wins
be, it
tonight,
won't be 10% of what it was in 06.
No, in 06 it was huge.
I don't reckon that's ever going to get it broken. That was awesome.
Yeah. Nice work. Thanks, Stevie. That was good. No, thorough. Was,
boys.
Now, on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
It's time to get loud
and local.
Here's something you probably haven't heard before.
Who we got this week for our local music, mate?
Mate, we're going to do a bit of a flashback.
How far?
Back to the 90s, early 90s.
Was that not to say that you passed your prime or anything, but would you consider that your heyday? I wouldn't say that if Payos wasn't here.
Very diplomatically put, buddy.
You forget when you got your first fight next week in forever, and I got a microphone. In public, Benny.
So if I get knocked out, I'm going to still wake up to you laughing into the microphone.
No, teabagged.
That went from like 0 to 100.
Hey, you poked the bear. Hey, the bear comes
never
back.
Again. Never
it's,
again.
No, we're still on the hunt for new music. I mean, we've had Stormatic last week, which is brand new Canberra stuff. But if you're in a Canberra band or know someone in a Canberra band, tell them to email us. Our email address is uppercutpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an MP3 and a bio of your stuff, no matter what it is. As long as it's recorded well, we will play it on the podcast. So thought we'd go back to Liquid now. Tonk that we played a couple of times on the podcast.
Was that our first ever local band?
Yeah, we did. We did play Tonk in the first episode. Yeah. Well, the guitarist in Tonk, Steve Gray, the man that basically runs Tonk, puts it all together, he was in a Canberra band called Liquid. They got signed to Warner Brothers Australia in the 90s. Huge news. Toured Australia as Van Halen's opening act.
Whoa.
And stuff like that. And Steve was a huge Van Halen nut too, so he was over the moon, you know, just going touring around with his hero. But that was the tour when Van Halen had extreme singer Gary Cherone singing for them when Diamond Dave and Sammy Hagar buggered off.
Yeah.
And it sounded like an extreme cover band of Van Halen, like an eight people went to each gig. Oh, really? That was shit.
Could he do like jump and splits?
He was quite acrobatic on stage.
Probably why they hired him, not for his voice, just his acrobatics and take off Hagar.
But no, he did great frontman for Extreme. Shithouse for Van Halen. But anyway.
Extreme, was it?
Yeah, Extreme. Remember them? Wholehearted, more than words.
That was like a metal band from the... Or a hard rock band from the 80s, 90s?
Yeah, very late 80s, early 90s.
I actually mentioned them. I heard them mentioned in a Metallica documentary where I think it was Lars or someone. He says, yeah, man, we're really extreme. And then he goes, oh, not the band.
The Extreme weren't very heavy. They were very pop-friendly.
Yeah,
because
Lars
was
very
enough.
Quick to backtrack.
Yeah. Well, these guys were great, and they had their first thing is an EP called Abdul's Secret Movie, and I'm going to play that song for you right now. So this is a bit of a Canberra flashback to Liquid on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
Listener question time, this time from Maddie Burgess on the Facebook page, who's asked us, boys, where do you get good coffee in the ACT? I can't answer that because I don't drink coffee, so I don't know. I got no idea.
Well, I can't live without it, and I won't even talk to anyone until I've had a coffee. I always say, if someone goes, oh, you know, let's catch up for breakfast or something, or let's talk business, I'm like, okay, but it's after coffee, or go f*** yourself. So
I probably had 10 coffees in my life.
Dude, wow. I have two a day.
I've been clinically hungover near death to have them, I reckon.
Dude, I have two a day, yep. And if I have one, get the f*** out of my way.
Oh, really? Aggro.
I cannot live without it. Okay. I'm a different...
I want to like coffee. I like the smell of it, but I don't like the taste it leaves in your mouth. That's why I don't drink it.
Yeah. It is acquired. What do you reckon, Stevie? You go first, mate.
Are they asking? Does he want to know?
Yeah, where to go and get a good coffee in the ACT?
A couple of good places I go to down on Marcus Clark Street and London Circuit in that little pocket near where Ridges is. I think it's still Ridges down there.
The QT. That's where I got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was awesome. Sorry about that.
Let's go back to the night. Oh, shit.
Whoops. Back we go, Marcus Clark.
Let's go.
Because
you've got the cupping room there, haven't you?
Cupping room, group 7.
That's down below Kemi Saidi.
That's right.
Lawyers, yeah.
The cupping room, really good. Group 7 and also Mocha, a couple of really good joints just in that area.
Yep.
And then a couple of
are they all within walking distance of each other?
They are. They're within about a fishing rod of each other, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So they're all very close. So that's a good spot. And then a couple of favourites with me and you have been, Benny, in Marnica in Kingston and Civic at Cream and a few places like that are pretty good. But I'm unfortunately not a coffee
expert. Not a big coffee snob.
I couldn't say that. This is a better bean. Because
I think it's ONA. I think they've won plenty of awards, like for best barista and stuff.
To get to that.
Okay, sorry.
The best coffee I've ever had is from a mate, Justin Stringer. He was a self-taught barista.
Yes.
He goes by J-Wow. He used to buzz
around.
That's
the dude I saw running along Solwood Drive with the face mask on. I remember getting on the radio going, I saw a dude in Marvin the Martian shorts with no shirt on running in a bloody gas mask. What the hell was that all about?
Do you
remember
that? It was one night I announced him as Justin J-Wow Stringer.
I made you do that.
You made it.
That was at one of the Capital Fight Nights at the Royal Theatre.
Yeah.
I was there.
Scotty, he was as focused as anything on this fight.
He had a great fight.
Next minute, it was Justin J-Wow, and he looked at me. He's like, what are you doing, Jimmy?
There was that crazy dance craze on at the time. Where everyone used to put on helmets and you'd do all the same. And he had all the people come out with him doing that.
No, that was Josh did that. Josh Tonner did that.
Was that Josh Tonner that did that? Yeah. Oh, it was too.
What was it called?
You know the thing I'm talking about, don't you?
Exactly.
Because that was social media was alive with that. Like you put on a horse head and do the same move.
Every couple of months.
What's the push-up challenge at the moment?
Yeah. The ice bucket, everything. Yeah. He's done that. He was self-taught. He used to buzz around in his coffee van.
Yeah, right.
Which he sold, so I won't promote the company.
That's all right.
But he actually now works at Honor underneath the guy that got the World Barista Champ or some shit. So, he can bust out a coffee. And this was before he was even working at Honor. And to Honor's credit, they actually put all their, from what I've learned, they've been putting him through all these training courses to become better and better. And he was already a gun.
Yeah,
so
nice. Actually, I can say one because I know a few mates who are getting visits here. Johnny Lang, his wife, so Langy that sponsors our podcast, his wife has taken 12 months off her government job to set up a coffee van.
Brilliant.
And she's done it, Espresso Yourself, its name is, and gets around Queanbeyan and Fishwick and stuff like that. And apparently her hot chocolates are to die for. I know that. So there you go.
You can have one of them then, Scotty.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't like drinking sweet stuff. No. Never have
I'll have done. A mocha. That's a mocky.
A macchiato.
It's a mocky.
A mocha, like a coffee hot chocolate.
Yeah, right, okay.
We can ease you into it. We can give you a baby chino, Scotty.
No. That's just frothed milk, isn't it, with chocolate on it? I wouldn't drink that either.
I didn't know what they were, and I actually went into a shop and ordered one. I'm sitting there by myself, and he brings out this baby chino, which is a frothed up little chocolate.
The minute he walked away, he thought, this is one of those weirdos that likes to dress up as a baby to get off.
That guy's got a nappy on for sure.
Yeah. You go home in his house, he's got a 12-foot playpen.
Barney Double.
I don't know, Maddie, if we've given you any answers there, my friend, but there you go. Get some coffee down your neck.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
You know, to liven things up.
All right, it is listener request time. What do we got this time around, Stevie P?
Yeah, Scotty, we've got a song that is C6 Steve, and it's by Roy's Gang.
No, opposite way around.
Oh, okay.
C6 Steve is the artist. Roy's Gang is the song.
Right. Okay.
I told you I wouldn't fuck it up. Stevie's getting it wrong. I've got no chance.
This is from a good mate, Graham Tyrrell. He's Scottish as, very hard chap to understand, but love his work. He's an absolute legend. He's a guy that, see that painting of Slash up there? Mm. He did that.
Wow.
Yeah, for me. Yeah. So he's done some great art. I've got Walter and Jesse in the bedroom that he painted for us as well.
Cool.
And a bunch of stuff. Very, very cool art. Graham Tyrrell Art. On Facebook. Tiz. Yeah, Tiz is his nickname.
I'm working with our Scotsman now at Queanbeyan City, Robbie Graham, and I tell you what, when he wants to pull an accent, you got to say to his city. Well, excuse me, Robbie, what was that?
just write it down for me.
Oh, yeah, write it down for me.
Text me.
This is one of the strangest songs we played on the podcast. C6 Steve, Roy's Gang, check this one out.
Man, you want me to play? I'll play. I'm getting kind of restless, wanna get on the road. I'm getting kind of restless, y'all, believe it's time to go. I wanna get on that bus, wanna play me a whole bunch of shows. Gonna be so fun to see y'all, can't believe you still wanna come. Do our best to rock your socks, a few hours of fun. I wanna get on that stage, wanna play you my very best show. I wanna get on that stage, wanna play you my very best show. Heaven, 100% sweat bullets, 975. No shoegaze, y'all. I'm getting kind of anxious, feel like getting around. Me and Dan and Mark and you and Roy gonna tear up some new ground. But lead me to the place I can play, I'll prop me up on my shoes.
That is C6 Steve and Roy's Gang on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I don't know what happened tonight, but it happened. That was a hell of a lot of fun, boys.
It sure was. Me and Steve are sweating up a storm.
It's pretty warm in here, isn't it?
It's a great show.
You wait. You're going to hate it in summer. in summer in this studio slash bedroom slash office when this thing's going, the snake cage is blaring at 100 miles an hour, 35 degrees.
I'm just
going
to bring in a fridge and open the door.
Seriously, if you've got schedule all your fights for across summer, because you will drop shit tins of weight in here.
Recording in the sauna.
Well, do you know what? We can probably do a mobile setup. We'll just go and sit out in the pool and record.
We'll do that.
It'll be awesome. Next week on the show, who knows what's going to happen, but if you want to join us, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Biff and Riff, facebook.com/uppercutpodcast, and email uppercutpodcast@gmail.com. Benny, got to thank our wonderful sponsors, my friend.
We sure do. Lang's Auto, which is 44 Yass Road, Queanbeyan, and I know that because I had to tell the tow company where I was going, so thank you very much.
I'm so glad you booked the Soccer Mum van in. That's sensational.
So am I. And I'm actually going to buy my own car. I don't even own the Soccer Mum van. I don't know if you know, but
Lenny went to you, didn't he?
So yeah. I'm going to buy my own car after the next fight. So
okay,
it should be right. And of course, the butcher shop in Dixon and Kayleen with old Ian there with his flat top behind the counter. Thank you very much.
Called him old Ian. He's got very long, sharp knives.
Young Ian. Young Ian. And we got editing.
There you go. No, I'm leaving that in.
Shit.
Indeed. Stevie, mate, thanks for popping in, man. It's been awesome to have you in again. And of course, next Saturday night, so Saturday the 13th of August at Vikings Erindale, if you haven't got tickets yet, you get to see Benny in the ring against his good mate, Brani Zek, a bit of an exhibition fight, and a bunch of people stepping into the ring to muscle up for muscular dystrophy, which is a shit of a disease. My dad's got it. And need to say a big happy birthday to my dad. He's 72 today. So happy birthday, Jeffrey. I know you listen to the podcast every week.
And happy birthday, Jeff.
He's had muscular dystrophy for how long?
He got diagnosed, well, his whole life, but he got diagnosed at 44.
Yeah.
So nearly 30 years he's been struggling along with it.
Tough as nails.
He's a tough old bugger. So, yeah.
Good on you, Scotty. Stubborn old prick. Good on you for putting in all the work you do as well, obviously.
Last year's show was great, and this year's will be just as good.
But, you're doing such a great thing for a great cause, and it affects so many people out there. So,
it's a disease that's not a popular disease because it's not known. So, the fact that we get to tell people about it by doing the fight night and things like that. And to all the fighters that are stepping into the ring for the first time, Benny, I know you've had a bit to do with a few of them, and I know our good mate Benny Reed's had a lot to do with them, helping them get ready. How are they looking? You've seen a few of them training?
Yeah, they're coming along well. Been doing some work with Kayla Gaffer. She's jumping in there. And she's been training with her opponent like 2-3 times a week. So
they're going to
know each other. She's a little 16-year-old girl. I can't remember her name. Yeah. I've got a name in my head, but it might be the wrong one, so I'm not going to say it. But they're both nervous as hell and training together, and they're helping each other out. So it's going to be a good night.
Nice work. Uppercut of the week. I asked you, Stevie, when we were talking about you coming in this week to let us know who you thought. Any thoughts?
Can I just crack in there and say how good was last week's uppercut? You gave out 3 uppercuts.
Yeah, when I got a Robbie bit angry. Farah, I got a bit angry. Dead. I got a bit angry in
that's
the
a
editing.
Traumatic brain injury. That was awesome. I didn't know you got 3. I didn't even know I threw 3. It was just a blur.
There you go. Fantastic. Who deserves an uppercut this week, Stevie?
My uppercut this week, boys, goes to the Russian Athletic Federation when news came out this week that they've had a systemic doping program for the last 5 to 10 years where they've been doping up their athletes on purpose.
Part of the program.
Yeah. Part of the program. Yeah. Government run.
Tracksuit.
Well, it's Rocky. It's Rocky Four.
But that's right. But the fact that they've turned that Hollywood into real life, and there's going to be, as I understand it at the moment, one Russian athlete who's going to be competing at the games at the moment, and then the IOC. I don't know what sport?
Like walking?
Yeah.
You should be burning a hole in the ground.
Well, it's not going to be clean and jerk, Scotty. I'll tell you that much.
How many times is she going to get tested?
Well, she
is it a she?
Yeah.
She with a beard.
She's actually quite an attractive young lady, actually. So good luck to her in the walking event or whatever.
Well done to Kevin Yevgenikev.
So, here's your tracksuit and here's your sus 250 in your decker.
Yeah, that's it. There's your doxy and off you go.
Well, if we're giving Russia an uppercut, Benny, let's give one to Brock Lesnar while we're there as well because he's a tool. Yeah. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
She just took out 400 Russians.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
Man, imagine how hard I could hear if I was on the gear.
And who is it? Asada?
Yes.
We'll leave it there. Thanks very much for listening, folks. Have yourself a great one. See you next week.
See you, folks.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride. And Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan and the Butcher Shop Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.